with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
I do know that once you hear the voice being adjusted, that means our friend Dave Petzo's here from the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, Petzo on Facebook, Petzo on Twitter, Petzo everywhere. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580KIDO. So, can you afford to take 2 weeks off like the President of the United States?
No, I haven't done that before. Is that, I didn't know. I thought the world might tumble down around me.
Now, you're a lot of things. You're an accomplished young man.
Thank you for the young part.
Well, you know, we try and give out compliments here. You're an accomplished young man. You work very hard. You're a successful person. You have the Petzo Center. But with all due respect, you're not the President of the United States.
Exactly, yeah.
So what does it say about the job of the presidency that Dave Petzo can't take 2 weeks off in a row, but Barack Obama can?
Yeah, well, this president has taken a lot of time off, Kevin, as you know. He's played more rounds of golf than anybody thought humanly possible.
And 300th round coming up.
300th round.
Now, you're a golf guy. What does that mean? I don't know if that's in 4 years, 8 years, something like that.
It's 7 years or whatever. That's a crazy number. I don't play that much golf.
And you do play the golf.
And I play golf, yeah. I don't play that much golf, but I do play golf, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know how he does that. When I had kids, I didn't play golf. I quit playing for 10 years until my kids were older. So.
Well, he's got his wife, he's got his kids, he's got his mother-in-law
There's
living in the White House.
There's this thing called a really important job.
Are we saying that running the Petzo Center is more important than the presidency?
Not even close. Not even close. I'm with you, Kevin. I find it amazing. Absolutely amazing what this guy's priorities are.
But maybe we don't need a president if you can just take 2 weeks off.
I don't think that Bush or any of the others played quite that much golf, Kevin.
No, and I don't think they took 2 weeks off.
And had kids and took 2 weeks off. It is really crazy, yes.
What does that say about the state of things and how detached the president is and let's say probably a lot of our politicians?
Kevin, I think it speaks volumes of how detached it is that he is. I mean, you know, they'll say, obviously all the apologists will say, oh, he's always connected. He's never really on vacation. Yeah, he kind of is on vacation, and he certainly is minimizing, or he is in touch, yes, because if there's an emergency, he will be there. But he's not taking regular meetings and figuring out what we should be doing with ISIS and things like that. He's just taking time off.
So wait a minute. Who's doing that? Biden?
Yeah. In theory, the generals are, but the ultimate decision is his, and he's not there to make it.
Wait a minute. So, and remember all the flubs, and who hasn't had flubs, but
sure.
Joe Biden, probably the best ever. Stand up, Joe. Stand up, Joe. Oh, wait a minute. Joe can't stand up.
That's right. That's true.
I don't know if that's, worse. Biden making the calls since Obama's on vacation.
Well, I don't think Joe's making the calls. I think there are no calls being made.
Oh, so ISIS is on vacation as well?
Well, I don't think they're on vacation at all. No, I don't think they take vacations. There's no vacation from terror.
Indeed. Dave Petzo here at 580-5436. Why don't you grab a cup of coffee? I'm going to take Chris here and let you... you did rush over from Channel 7. I know it was kind of rough for you this morning.
They just had me on a little bit late. That's all.
Doug. Nope. You know, when Maggie's there.
It's on time.
Anyway. We'll get Dave Petzo in a minute. Go to Chris in Fruitland. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Kevin. Yeah, I first want to really thank you for being such a good voice in the morning. You know, one thing I noticed is that every time I turn on the TV, it seems like all the news, like I'm watching Good Morning America right now, and they seems like they they orchestrate the whole entire show to attack Trump. You know, they'll come on in the very beginning, they attack Trump, then they come on about 35 more minutes later, attack Trump. You watch The View later. It is all about Donald Trump. And I noticed that they had one of the guests from Penn and Teller on The View the other day, and they thought that he was going to start, you know, getting on the attack Trump bandwagon. And then he kind of was going, actually, I like Trump. You know, and then if you notice anybody watching in this area, they cut the feed right when he was complimenting Trump. And I think it's weird, like on the internet, all the news media. I think there honestly is a lot of Trump supporters. I think that he's leading. I think that when you turn on the TV and they tell you that Trump is free-falling, I think they're doing that so that way if they steal the election, people won't question it because they'll believe that Trump was losing, but he really is the leader.
Well, there you have it, and I agree with you on that, Chris, and we appreciate you listening to 580 KIDO. Anything else you want to share with us?
Well, there's no way that Obama is could be really running the country when he's on vacation all the time. I've always kind of suspected. I never really thought that that Obama was really even in control. I get the kind of the idea that he's more like a spokesman. I don't know. There's something in your gut instinct that when you're watching these people or when you watch Hillary Clinton, you really, really get the idea that something is sinister. There's something not right about him. And like I'm trying to say, I am afraid if Hillary Clinton gets in, I'm afraid that it is going.
That was me. Go ahead. Yes.
Oh, I was saying if Hillary Clinton gets in, it's going to be a disaster. So anyways, Trump 2016. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Chris. Thank you. Dave Pezzo, your analysis of what Chris had to say about people going after Trump.
Well, they
I
are.
Know you are new to the Trump camp.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm fairly new to that camp. Although, as you know, I kind of, towards the end of the Republican convention, was very – I admired how he came out of nowhere. So, like everybody or like most people, some people saw it before. Peggy Noonan was one of those, that there was a real revolution going on in this country.
Well, what about
Bernie.
Us? We saw that too, didn't we?
Yeah.
In Idaho, we were on top of it.
We were on top. We were there pretty early. Yeah.
Peggy Noonan, she can have the Wall Street Journal, but
that's right. But she's not in Idaho.
She's not in the Treasure Valley.
Not at all. But it, you know, with the revolutionary. But anyway, his point is really well taken. The attack dogs are. It's absolutely unbelievable to me what the media does, what the mainstream media has been doing to Donald Trump. And it's not that Donald Trump is capable of keeping his mouth shut. He clearly is not. I think he would be many points ahead if he would just once in a while quit doubling down on stupid. And, you know, when he gets backed into a corner sometimes on something like yelling at a baby or doing something silly, or a mother with a baby, instead of talking about it more, just let it fade away. And I know he's been getting that kind of strong advice out there. We hear it in the media. We see it. And I hope that he can learn. I don't know that he can, Kevin. I just don't know that he can.
Well, let's switch gears. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
All right.
Do you have a favorite airline?
Southwest.
Okay.
Alaska's close.
Do you like the Southwest with the herd mentality?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. You see, you don't have to herd if you don't want to.
Well, I guess you can get the, you know, call in and all that.
$15. Well, you can. If you don't like your spot, you can, you know, for $15 or whatever it is. It's not that much.
It's
a lot cheaper than any other airline. That's what people don't understand.
I think you're misunderstood.
Do you?
Yes. You know, when they think of Dave Pezzo, a lot of people think of your exotic trips to Reno or Chicago or or something like
exotic
that.
Exotic locations.
Or going to, you know, golf or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think deep in your heart, you want to save money like the rest of us.
Oh, yeah.
and I think I'm going to expose myself as kind of being a fraud here today at 580KIDO.
Really?
You know, my favorite new airline is Delta.
Really?
I kind of like Delta.
The one that's not flying today.
Yes, which is going right into our segment. And the reason why I kind of like them is they seem a little bit more less formal than United.
Right, okay,
you know,
that's fair.
And I wanted to like United.
And less hateful than US Air.
Right, Yes. I wouldn't say more competent than U.S. Air, but anyway, because they're, you know, they American U.S. Air, they do a great job. Anyway, back to the point, I just kind of have this new affinity, maybe because I had to pick, you have to pick an airline now because you get points and all those.
That's right. Right. Yes. Yeah.
So I've picked an airline, Delta.
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, whether you have to travel because they only go to one place 13 hours, I'm with Delta now. Never mind everybody else that will take Southwest and get there in half the time. Because I'm getting points.
Because you're getting points.
You know, and Ramsey's probably listening to this going crazy right now. Dave Ramsey, who cares about the points? I'm down with the points all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So when you and Delta, by the way, resuming flights right now, expect delays, cancellations. As a guy that flies, as a guy that deals with this, what do you make of this Delta situation? Haven't they ever heard of the cloud?
I know, and it's not just that, though. They're hacked every day, and you think about this. I just can't remember who it was that was shut down probably less than a month ago, Kevin. And it's the same thing. There are huge issues out there with the complexity of the whole system is really susceptible to hacking. And so I don't know if that's what's going on here or they just blew it on their own, but it is it's meaningfully disruptive to our entire economy when any airline, let alone the whole industry, goes down.
Right. So getting that trust back. And now, do you enjoy flying?
I don't mind it, I think that this idea that we all talk about, that it's just a horrible thing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, right.
It's a horrible
thing. It's a horrible thing.
You're a svelte guy, and I'm not, so, I mean, they favor you over me.
Well, they do favor me over you, but that's just because of my overt kindness.
And your youthfulness.
And my youthfulness, right? Kevin, it's not. It's just one of those things that we've kind of gotten in this whole idea, this whole narrative that flying sucks. And the reality
is... But it does.
It doesn't.
Okay,
hold
on.
I'm sitting in a chair, and they bring me drinks, and I go, you know...
They used to bring you a meal.
An hour at 35,000
They used to bring you a meal. You used to get this, and you used to not have to pay for bags. Well, I'm Mr. Southwest. I don't have to pay for bags. You know what I'm saying.
Thank you. And if you have any of the status, they'll give you a free bag. If you get one of their credit cards, you'll get a free bag, too.
Right. But what I'm saying here at 580KIDO is, I love this. Well, we're going to load up real quick, and when they make a mistake, it's never on them. They never say, hey, here's a voucher for a peanut. They say, sorry, get going.
It's a difficult schedule for sure, but at the price you get to travel clear across the United States, it's absolutely absurd. And so, yes, you're right. Is it the same as it used to be? No. Is it cheaper than it used to be, though, Kevin? Yes.
I disagree with you on that.
That it's cheaper?
Oh, they're gouging us.
Really?
Yes.
When I was a kid, and that was a good number of years ago. We're talking 40 years ago.
It should be cheaper.
It was $1,000 for my sister and I to fly to go see our grandparents.
Where?
In West Virginia.
It's still $1,000.
Boom, 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 40 years later. That's exactly my point.
Just let me hitchhike on a drone for $50. It'd have to be a big drone. More coming up with Dave Pezzo next. You're listening to 580KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580KIDO.
580KIDO, Dave Pezzo continues to talk to me off the air. I don't know why you like to distract me. It's tough enough for me to do this job on the air, sir.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be better at it, especially since I've got to try to do it.
Dave Pezzo here, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. By the way, you do quite well every Saturday. Let's talk a little bit about some of the top stories that are percolating. I see you have your notes here. What are people looking out for? I mean, if the president can take 2 weeks off, the rest of us can.
Well, we all should. I mean, you know, if the president wants us to become like Europe, then here we go. It's perfect. Nobody works in August, so it's awesome. And by his leadership, that's what he's saying. So that's perfect. Listen, it is a very slow time. There's not a lot of trading going on Wall Street, and this is a perfect season right now because the market is just kind of quietly going higher. We hit all-time highs again last week, and even the NASDAQ caught up, and it hasn't hit an all-time high for over a year, hit it last week. So in spite of all the doom and gloom, Kevin, and there's a lot of it out there, you know that as a newsman, it is so negative. Think about what Brexit was, what, less than 2 months ago, Kevin, and now here we are at all-time highs. The market is doing very, very well in spite of the constant chitter-chatter about how bad it is, the elections, Brexit, whatever it is people want to try to throw at the market, it fends it off and on it goes. And again, it shows how resilient businesses are to government stupidity and, well, basic human stupidity, if you will.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller with Dave Petzo as we move along. Let me hit you with something because I think of this segment a lot on the weekends. Because I always want to just try and ask something if people are driving around, if they don't have the time to call in or email, what they would ask you. And this goes back to, you know, what we used to talk about, 7 years ago this month when I started here at 580-KIDO. It was mm-hmm. the Chinese. It was housing.
Yep.
But I'm really concerned about all the building going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And yonder past that Dare 10 mile,
yeah,
if you will, I'm seeing houses go up. One of my favorite shows to watch on Channel 5 Plus 1 is The Home Show.
Okay.
It's soothing because they talk about all these homes being built and custom homes and everything else.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, I just really wonder if we have a plan for all this. And I know that you've said before, Kevin, they don't have the type of loans they had before.
Right.
People are more qualified. But I'm still wondering, you know, we're building. You know, what's the plan? Whether, you know, we see the infrastructure being built, we see
yep.
everything else. I'm just very concerned about it. Your thoughts?
Well, Kevin, you should always be concerned about that because the reality is we do operate cycles economically, and it's a boom-bust. Obviously, the boom and the bust typically, other than 2008, 2000 through 02, those are not usually as big a bust as they used to be, where we used to have steel mills and most people
right.
worked in the steel mills, right? So nowadays we have a little bit less, but your point is well taken. It does go back and forth. But here's the difference. Right now, there's huge demand. They can't build them fast enough to keep up with the demand. And you're right about the infrastructure. You think about that 5-lane freeway, 10 lanes, and you think about how many cars can be moved on that. It is a phenomenal, way ahead of its time, how many more people could be on that road. I don't want us to turn into Denver either, but that's the direction we're going, and everybody's discovered Idaho, and that's just the way it is. And it's better to be growing than it is to be shrinking. Your point's well taken, but think about the infrastructure that says you can live 10 miles away and you're 15 minutes from work.
I'm with you, and I agree with you. However, you've got the Chindons, you've got the, you know, state streets, you've got all these roads that are 2 lanes that
yep.
need to be 4 lanes. And here's the other thing. One of the hottest real estate markets has been for 3 or 4 years now. Everybody's going back into real estate.
Yep.
Sooner or later.
Yep.
It's going to slow down. You take a look at, I knew a young lady that she put her house on the market. It sold within 3 hours.
Yes. Well, think about what's going on in many parts of the country. Well, you know, obviously I go to Seattle a lot because my daughter and my granddaughter are there. So I go there, you know, about once every 6 weeks. And when you go there, you know, I've once in a while asked because
well, that's a crazy market.
That is crazy, but that's not even the craziest. But they will list a house. She told me this last week when I was there, 2 weeks ago, that their friend had tried to buy a house, bid $100,000 more. Now, this is not a $1 million house, okay? It was like a $400,000 or $500,000 house. They bid $100,000 more. They weren't even close. They weren't even close to getting that house. It went for $200,000 more than listing. The bids come in at really high levels. It's a crazy market, and they just can't build enough houses. And with interest rates low, a lot of people are still in the market, Kevin, if they could only find a house at a reasonable price. And that's why you're seeing so many go up out here.
Finally, Dave Petzo.
I don't want to go, Kevin. No finals.
Okay. You read The Economist at all?
I do from time to time, Kevin. I used to be a faithful reader of it, but I haven't in the last few years. You know, you catch glimpses.
Sure. Pretty hoity-toity, heady publication.
It's pretty meaty, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have an article in this week's edition called The Last Frontier, featuring Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Really?
And everybody moving to Coeur d'Alene. Now, again, I know I need to get out more and go up there and check out the beauty. But for me, it's amazing that Idaho really is becoming a place where people want to be.
They are. Look at all the retirees that are actually moving here. And, again, I think that the Internet technology, if you will, and also the fact that because of not just the Internet but all of technology that's at our fingertips, you can discover places. You can discover much about a place, meaning what is the weather really like, not the day I was there. You can find out the demographics. You can find out so many things about a place. You can look up all the articles and stories about them. And you know Boise and Idaho. It just is, there's just no place like it. There isn't. There really is no state like Idaho that has that kind of diversity. But for the valley here, we are in a position where everybody, whether it's mountain bikers or entrepreneurs, want to move here. And they read articles about it, and they read articles about the weather, the real weather, right? That's the, you know, if we look at what are the average temperatures in the winter and those kinds of things, because I don't really like winter, whatever it is, you find that you are steered to places like Boise. And I think that's not going to stop. And Coeur d'Alene, I'm surprised because their winters are pretty long up there for a lot of retirees moving there, Kevin. But Sandpoint has long been a retirement community, by the way. This is not a new phenomenon.
Dave Petzo, we always appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you for being there.
And
thanks for having me on.
We love you.
Love you too, buddy.
Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I am Jennifer Stone, and Tom Brown and I are filling in for Dave Petzo this morning. Just finished up a recording with him and Kevin Miller, so now we are live. So if you have phone calls or questions at all, we always welcome those. Phone number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Just a little background. Tom and I usually try to fill in for Dave, I don't know, what, 3-4 times a year?
Yep.
This year we are a little bit not as timely.
Is only our second time this year.
Those of you that are clients knew we went through a big transition at the office, so that was where we spent most of our weekends the first half of this year.
Yep, it was. It's something I like to look back on now instead of looking forward to. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was. But you know, now that we got through it, I think it was probably one of the better decisions that we've made.
Yep.
So, anyways, background on us. I've worked with Dave for 22 years now. I am a certified financial planner. Basically, take over and manage the office as well. And Tom has worked with us. It's funny. Everyone laughs, and we say he's the new guy, and the new guy's been there 12 years.
Yep.
So not really a new guy anymore, but we'll still refer to him as that just because it's stuck.
Yep, and I'm still the latest one, so
yeah.
When we hire the next one, we'll announce it
with the newer, on the radio. New guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what is kind of very, very nice about where we are. We've all worked together for such a long time. We know each other. We know each other's families, and it's just a really great place.
Yep, very good.
So what we wanted to do today is something that's quite different than we've ever done before. A lot of times we get asked, what does a typical day as a financial advisor look like? And I get a lot of, you must like numbers, you must like finance, you must like money side, or you wouldn't be doing this. But the interesting thing that I find is that most of the time we don't spend a lot of time just dealing with how's this investment, what's the best stock, what's the best mutual fund, what's the best thing to buy, is very little of what we do.
Right. It really comes down to helping people get organized and set goals and work toward those goals. That's the primary thing that we do, and our service, the big picture, is what we're trying to accomplish.
So what we did is we kind of sat down, and we do this often at the office. We sit down and we talk about different clients, their goals, their objectives, what we can do to really help them. So we sit down more as a team and we go over things. And we say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And we talk. So what we did today is we pulled together a couple of different stories of fictitious clients, of course, but of things that we've really heard from most or a lot of our clients at some point. So even though it's not true, not all of it's true, it's quite dramatized and it's not based on any one person, we've had these conversations like bits and pieces with several different clients.
Right. And it's surprising when we were getting ready for this, just how many clients we can, you know, think about the little bits and pieces where we've heard these things and are adding them together. So I think this is going to be a good way of showing a little bit of what reality of where what people are struggling with, and also a little insight into how we deal with that and help people get on the right track.
It's also money. Money's interesting. It brings a lot of peace if you do it well, but it also causes a lot of stress if you try to do things that you're just maybe not quite ready to do. And understand, we're not judging anyone on what we're saying here. We're just trying to make people understand that as you listen to these stories, hopefully you realize that you're not the only one out there that may have thought this, or not the only one out there that may feel this way, because it's said quite frequently, or we wouldn't have thought to put it down.
Exactly. And again, I think everybody can improve themselves. And just because you've made some bad decisions, I think we've all made bad decisions. We're basically showing two couples here, one that make good decisions, one that another couple that don't make such good decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think we also can show that, or we know that there's little bits and pieces of both of us in both groups.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think Tom and I can relate to these as well. We've all been at these points in our lives where we're trying to decide, do we do this or do we do that? How will this affect this? How will that affect that? So what we're going to do now, though, when we get back, we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we're going to kind of set up our two families so that you understand a little more of their background and their history. So we'll take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll give you a little more details on their lives.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Good morning and welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Jennifer Stone, and Tom Brown and I are filling in for Dave Petzo this morning. We are live, so if you have questions for us, please call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. So as we introed earlier this hour, we're talking about a couple different families and their life situations. Both are very fictitious. They're not based on questions we get from multiple people all put into one client. So it may sound a little dramatic somewhat, but what we're trying to do is just give you, in two quick brief stories, different views on how to handle finances. So we have two different families. We have John and Mary Savers.
And Steve and Sally Spenders.
So Tom gets the Spenders and I get the Savers.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works in our office too.
It is. It really is. Tom's really good at the budgeting side and helping people try to focus through. So that's the reason why we kind of light it out this way. He just really gets it well. He was a Ramsey certified counselor at one point.
Well, no, I was not certified, but I've taught the course a couple times.
So he really is really good at that piece of it. So what we're going to do, both couples, John and Mary Savers are son. John is a son of one of our clients, fictitious again, and they just graduated college and are married with no kids, 25 years old, and Steve and Sally Spenders are their good friends.
Yep, and because they're such good friends, they have exactly the same jobs. They graduated the same degrees, both from Boise State.
So when they went through college, John and Mary Savers actually worked while going to school. They tried to keep everything pay as you go as much as possible, but still ended up with some student loan debt, but right about $25,000.
Yeah. Steve and Sally, on the other hand, if the financial aid office said they could borrow it, they did. They ended up with a balance on their student loans of $150,000. Which, and then also for both is that these are at 6% interest rates.
Yes, yes. So, and that's about average on student loans. The interest rates aren't as low as they are on other types of debt. So the more you have, of course, it's going to take a lot longer to pay it off with higher rates.
Right.
Both John and Mary Savers, they made it through school driving their old high school cars that they had forever. They still have those, and they have no car debt, and they have zero on their credit card.
So Steve and Sally both have car loans, both at $18,000. They have credit card debt of $30,000.
So not only did they use the student loan money to enjoy life and travel and have fun things to do, they also took on credit card debt.
Yes. And in fact, part of that was they took the John and Mary on a trip one time to Tahoe.
Wow.
And ran out, just put it on the credit card, they said.
No wonder they're such good friends.
And yeah, no kidding.
John and Mary Savers are, they both rent. They're in the same complex. They have nice little condos together that are close together. Again, super good friends. They pay about $1,000 a month rent. Their expenses for that condo are very similar at about $500, but this is where they come apart a bit here.
Right.
The Savers spend about $500 a month on food and fun.
Yep, and Steve and Sally are out every night. They spend about $2,100 on food and fun.
We didn't talk too much about their careers and their income, but Mary Saver is a registered nurse, and John Saver is an electrical engineer.
Mm-hmm. So is Steve and Susie.
So they make about $100,000 a year.
Yep, right at $100,000, which just coming out of college, I would say they're doing well income-wise.
Yep, fairly good money. They do, of course, not pocket that. Sometimes people forget when you make good money and you're all excited about that first paycheck. Well, if you have no deductions because you don't have any interest, you don't have children, just everything standard, they're going to pay about $18,000 a year in state and federal tax together.
Right.
And then our other fund, Social Security and Medicare tax, is about another $7,500 a year.
Yep.
And they got to pay health insurance.
Yep. And that's running about $6,000 a year.
Correct. So they only end up, of their 100, bringing home about $68,000, which is $5,600 a month.
Yep.
Okay? So I know we're getting to a lot of numbers here. But what we're trying to do is say that both of these people have the same amount to live on.
Yep, there you have, they're identical coming out of the chute. They are both ending up with the same amount of money at the end of the day to use for whatever they want to.
Yep, and now it just becomes how do they choose to spend it. So when they first come in to meet with us, what they do is they basically, the typical client lines this out for us. They tell us what their goals are. We sit down and we figure out what our concerns are with their financial situation. And we set goals. And then we help them work to meeting those goals as they go through the year.
Right.
So what we do here is we say, okay, so what are our concerns? What are your concerns? What are your goals? What would you like to accomplish with your money? And try to figure out a way to get them to do so.
Right. As we go through this, as we mentioned before, this is fictitious. Although it may sound like someone you know, it is not someone that we're talking about specifically. These are all things that we have had in meetings when people have said what their goals are.
All right. So my first meeting with the Savers, they had some really good and very achievable goals. They weren't unrealistic. They weren't like trying to shoot for the moon here. They wanted to first pay off their student loan within a year. And then once that was done, put that payment that they were making on the student loan towards their house. Then they wanted to start saving for retirement. They were going to wait to have children because they didn't think right now they were financially prepared to do so. And they want to buy a home with 20% down prior to having children. And also they wanted to find out a referral for a will.
Steve and Sally, on the other hand, their main goal, what they're excited about, was two, basically. One was to get a boat, and the other was to buy a house right away. They just, you know, they got the income. They were trying to find the best way to finance a house that they'd already found. They'd already seen the house that they wanted, their dream house that they wanted to be in. Sally is pregnant. So they wanted to have this house before they had the baby. So they were looking for, we put some earnest money down, and we wanted to know where we could get the best interest only loan, if that's possible, get the payment down as close to their rent as they could.
And no down payment, right?
Right. They were trying to get away from, because they have no savings. I think we should say that on both of them. They came out of college, either one didn't have any savings.
Nope, they were just starting fresh.
They also want to travel more, which is interesting, being pregnant. And their long-term, when I finally, after 20 minutes, got them to try to think about it, they want to retire at 50. And they're also, that one of their dreams is to buy a cabin. And I think that this is really a big one for me. when I meet with people in our office because of the nature of our where we live, mm-hmm. is that is something that comes up a lot.
All the time.
People want, they want to have a cabin. They want to buy a
cabin
place
in McCall.
Yep. Cabin in McCall. Cascade. Mm-hmm. Garden Valley.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing. That's the dream. We're going to spend only 2 weekends a year there, but we want to have a cabin.
Right. Right? And so it's worth that much outflow for two weekends a year.
So, again, not picking on anybody, but.
Yep. But that's what we hear a lot of. These are the goals. It's just very different goals. So now what we're going to do when we come back, we need to take another break, is we're going to tell you or at least explain how we go through and try to guide people through this and help address the concerns we see as well as their goals. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll go through this in more detail.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station.
So along with Tom Brown this morning, it's our second time this year, which is crazy. It's gone by
oh,
so
I know.
Quick.
It just seems like it was January.
It does, doesn't it? So now we're back into fall feeling already.
Yep.
We'd like your phone calls if you'd like to give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. We are live. The first half hour was a recording, but we are here live. We are talking about two separate families, something we see frequently. Again, this is very fictitious, and I know it does maybe seem like we're judging the spenders a bit, but honestly, that's kind of what our job is to pick apart what they're doing wrong and try to help them get back on track to have financial peace when they get into retirement.
Yeah, we promote the good things and we're more than happy to tell them when
they're not
doing good things.
Right. So we're going to start again with the savers here, and we're going to talk about their budget, how they're spending their money. They want some guidance on should they be funding Roth IRA, should they be contributing to 401ks. They're not real familiar with these terms, of course, because they're just 25 years old, right out of college. They've heard about investing, but they don't know the best way to go about it or where they should put their money. They just know that with their expenses, they have extra cash flow to do something with.
Right. And I think also given that we see this when you have parents and they were referred by parents that were clients fictitiously and who were good clients and had been a good savers, as we see this in the kids when they come back, the first thing they're talking about is what's the best way for me to save for retirement, how do I pay off debt, all those kind of things, because that's the way they were raised, that's what they saw when they were growing up.
Right. And the starting young is so important. You don't realize the compounding factor if you are able to put away money in investments when you're in your 20s versus starting when you're in your 40s or 50s.
Right.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, and later, whether it's today or probably in another show in the future, we'll get more into those numbers and how that really, what the impact of that really shows.
Right, because we really want to walk through this, these two families' lives and how the choices they're making in their 20s will affect them in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and through retirement.
Right, and that is the overall thing of all financial planning, is that all while you're living, you're doing things financially that will affect you, your long-term retirement. And people, when they're 25, don't think too much about retirement, but making poor decisions or good decisions early affect you 40 years from now, 50 years from now.
Right.
And so it's really important that you get it right early and stay right.
Right. So let's go back to John and Mary Savers. They have about $5,700 of net income per month that they need to decide the best way to spend. They've already told us their rent's about $1,000 a month. They have about $1,000 in expenses and food and funds. So they have about $3,600 left every month to decide what to do with. First, they absolutely have to start their 401k at work. They're going to put in just enough to get the match because right now they have goals that they need to meet as well. So they put in 4%. The company matches them at 4%.
Right.
Then they're also going to put some money into Roth IRAs just to get that going, because to have some tax-free buildup, and if worst case scenario, you can get part of that out again without tax and penalty if you need to. So it gives them some flexibility. Anything left goes into savings.
Right.
So what we did first meeting is we sat down and we said, if you put $2,500 towards your student loans per month, which sounds like a lot of money, but they have it extra after they've done food, fun, everything they need to do, they could get that paid off in a year.
Right.
So they did that, started paying on that. Then they started putting the 4% into their 401k, $150 a month each into Roth IRAs, and they're off and going.
Right. And then on Steve and Sally, they're a different situation. Also about $5,600, a little over $5,600 in income, same income, because they have so much debt, they have to be paying more on their minimum debt payments. So they're paying $900 a month in student loan payments, $650 in car payments, and $400 a month in credit cards. So when I bring up that they need to start saving for retirement, first thing, they aren't really interested in retirement at this point because they like to spend money, and that's a long ways from now.
And they don't think they can afford it. That's right. What everyone says. I can't afford 4%
right.
less
Not
in
now,
my paycheck
but
right
maybe
now.
Later, but right now I got all this other stuff because they've painted themselves into a corner.
Right.
And they don't have the freedom to start saving yet. Said that they need to start saving some cash up so they have an emergency fund. That's also very hard for them because they like to spend so much.
Right.
And then because they have a baby on the way, they have to start thinking of other things like when you have a baby, and even before, but very more important when you have a baby is that you need to be getting life insurance. If you have two working couples, they're successful. Life insurance isn't such a mandatory thing, but it's definitely mandatory a strong mandatory is kind of harsh, but you need to have it because that child is counting on you.
And also in the spender situations with such a high debt level, they have to have life insurance anyways because they're so dependent on each other for income.
Right.
If either one of them were disabled, unable to work, or something happened to them tragically, there's no way the surviving spouse could pay their debt.
Right. Yep. So that life insurance, so that's another thing we have to talk about. And if you, and again, this is fictitious, but we talk to people all the time. They don't want to talk about life insurance. They don't want to talk about getting a will done, even though everybody should have a will. It doesn't have to be very complicated, but everybody should have a will. And so they're, but you know, you kind of just, like I said, you just wave your hand in front of their face and go, you need a will, you need life insurance. And they just look at you and go, yeah, but what about the boat? Right? You know, we want to get that house. You know, the baby's on the way. And again, we're not saying that we don't empathize with these people. We do. We want to help them. But when they put themselves in such a corner, you need to be really kind of brutally honest and say, you can't afford this. You can't do it.
Right.
I would love to tell you that you could, mm-hmm. and you can buy a cab and all those things, but you've got some basic things to cover here, and that's part of our job is to be honest instead of trying to find some gimmick or some way for them to make this work out.
And the interesting thing is, too, if you can afford a boat, we're all about having fun. If you can afford and you choose that you want that cabin, whether you spend a weekend or two or whatever time you want there, if you can afford it, we don't have an issue with that. That's the one thing that we want to make clear. It's just that living on debt is a death spiral.
Yep.
It truly is, because something will go wrong. It's called life.
Right.
Something goes wrong. Something breaks. Something needs to be done with. It happens. We have a guarantee in life. We will all die at some point.
Right.
But disabled happens quite frequently.
Right. And a lot of times we talk about, when we talk about people even older, is that death actually is not the biggest financial blow. Disability is a huge blow.
It is.
Because someone can live 40 years and be disabled and run up huge costs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't prepared for that kind of thing, I'm not saying you have to have, you know, $1 million in the bank before you can have any fun, but you need to be thinking these things through and go, what is the worst case scenario, and do we have a plan for that?
Yes, and we do have discussions. It's kind of funny. We talk on this side of it as well, that people that have saved super well sometimes have a very hard time spending any of the money they saved.
Right.
So if you get to a certain time in your life, the fun part about our job is to sit down and tell people, spend some of what you've saved. It's okay.
Right.
That's the fun part of it. So you can do both sides. If you don't overspend in the beginning, then people that don't tend to underspend in retirement.
Right. And then little things, the thing that Jennifer was talking about budgeting earlier, there's little things that happen that cause us to spend more money. And so when we finance cars, you don't have the luxury of just doing liability only on an old car. You have to add that full coverage and those things. So every little thing that you add when you put yourself in that position adds a little bit more cost that you're not even thinking about. But there's another $25 a month that's for, you know, full coverage on the car because I have to have it because they wouldn't give me the loan if they didn't. So those, And the death spiral is that instead of getting out of debt and moving on, like the savers, you know, get out the student loans and let's get that going. It's this, we pay off a car, and I see this so much. Pay off a car, and by the time you pay off the car that you paid 3 or 4 years, then that's the time when you just roll it right into another loan. And having a car loan is just part of life. And it doesn't have to be, but it is what people do.
And a lot of times the flip side of that, too, is when you get an older car, we hear, well, now I have maintenance.
Right.
There's so much more maintenance with an older car. But when you really add that up, it's nowhere near what you're paying for a new car.
Right. Oh,
it's
no.
just not.
It isn't. And another thing, going switching subjects a little bit, for Steve and Sally, they want to buy this house. They're anxious to buy a house. You know, their parents or friends are telling them they need to get a house because it's a good tax deduction. It's just the way things need to be, and you make this great money, you should do it. But when you buy a house, you're just adding another reason for you to have more expenses because things need updated. You need to do this. You need to put in new carpet. You need to do this. Oh, that broke. You need to fix that. No one keeps track of those little dollars that we spend on our house every month.
No.
But it's huge over time.
And you don't get to call the landlord anymore when something
right.
breaks. Now it's all on you. And
right.
when we have 105 degree weather and your air conditioner breaks, you're calling people at whatever time of day to get that fixed.
Right. And if you don't have savings to pay for it, you put it on the credit card.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to stop, is if you just live within your means, you can still have fun.
Right.
You don't have to not do anything.
Right.
But just try to do it well so that you can afford to do things with comfort. Because
right.
the pressure and stress that comes from not being able to pay for things and always having that looming debt, even if you act like it's not a big deal and you'll make the payments and everything's okay, it's always there.
Yep. And if you can get yourself to put yourself in a position to struggle early when you're young, don't have the added pressure of children and those things, and you can just work as hard as you can and make as much of it, and you can just live as cheaply as you can, live in a cardboard box and just pay things off and try to live within your means, way below your means, and just pile up money and stuff, that pays off dividends for the rest of your life.
Yes.
What you do in that early part of time can make a marked difference in how you live in the last part of your life. It's just huge.
And it starts a habit that your kids also watch.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that your kids will do what you tell them to, but any parent knows they don't. They
right.
do what they see.
Right.
They follow in your footsteps. So
right.
if you're a saver, most of the time, your kids will be savers.
Yep. And you're leaving that legacy of behavior. And, you know, in the Ramsey things, his daughter has a thing where she has more caught is than is taught. Yeah, I can't
mm-hmm.
speak today, but basically you'll tell them a whole bunch of stuff to do, but if they're not seeing you do that,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to say, yeah, whatever. I'll just do what you do because I've seen this my whole life and this is just how life works.
Right. And you can get so much freedom by just little tiny things. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go into more detail on our two families and try to give you some more information and more stories and more, hopefully, guidance that you can follow. Again, give us a call, though, if you have questions or you'd like to add to this at 580-KIDO, 580-5436.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This with Dave Petzo. On Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo this morning. Again, we'd like phone calls, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. When we left, we were talking about the spenders and the savers and trying to help guide them as they grow in their financial lives. What we'd like to talk about now is how we helped them. What did we do? How did we advise them? And how they're doing as they move through the year.
Right.
So
give the ace day gold medal people first.
I know. They always get to go first since they're trying to follow our direction.
Yeah, and they're already primed.
Yes. And, you know, it is difficult. I mean, it is hard to set priorities. We understand that, or we wouldn't be here.
Right.
If this was an easy thing to do.
Yes, everybody was disciplined. And,
yeah.
And woke up and they could follow be healthy and not exercise every day and
mm-hmm.
be savers and all that kind of thing, then we'd be filling out resumes.
Right. And, you know, spending too much isn't right and hoarding your money isn't right either.
Right.
So it goes both ways. We're not judging either side.
Right.
What we're trying to do is help people find balance.
Right. And I know that just in the past 2 weeks, I've met with several people for whatever reason that, so do you have any savings? Yeah, I have about $150,000 in the bank.
Yep.
And I go, oh, that's interesting.
Yep. And they don't want to invest it because the market is still one of the places that people are fearful of.
Yep.
They think that if they put their money in the market, they'll lose it all. And it will never come back, and they don't want to take that chance, so they want to leave it in cash because they feel safe.
Right. But on the other hand, they will acknowledge that they're not earning anything, and they need to be earning more.
They will, but they just don't want to.
Right. Yeah. What's that perfect thing where I won't lose, and I can earn more?
And that's why they create some of those products that we don't like to talk about.
Later in the day.
Correct. Right. Yes. So, when we left, we said that each of them had started on meeting their goals. The hard part was the spenders don't know how they can.
Right.
One of their biggest concerns, too, when they came in was who's going to watch their child? How do they pay for it?
Right. And so now they have a baby on top of everything else. And so they have to, rely on grandparents or their parents who luckily live in this area. And that is a nice thing to have, the ability to have grandparents that live in the area to be able to rely on for child care, but unfortunately that doesn't always happen. But that's what they were forced to do.
It is. And it is wonderful, and I know grandparents really love to help out, but I also know that a lot of times kids feel more, they don't want to have to go back to their parents for help. It's a hard thing to ask for.
Right, right. And, grandparents are usually retired, and they've earned a lifetime of freedom, so they are sitting there going, I raised kids before. I thought I was done with this. And although they love their grandkids, maybe 2 or 3 hours on a visit, maybe not 8 to 10 hours a day.
Right.
Forever.
Forever, exactly. So we're going to go to the phones and take a call from Jim in Boise. Hi, Jim.
Morning. Long time no talk to.
I know. Jim. We haven't been here for a while, have we?
No. I've kind of missed you all.
Aw.
Well, where to start? Now, I got a lot from my grandparents who lived through the Depression and a couple of World Wars, Debt was bad. If you don't have cash, don't pay for it, or, you don't need it. And also, the old expression, keeping up with the Joneses, peer pressure, I've always hated that. Of course, I've never been a part of a group. I like people on an individual basis, but as a group, they're rather stupid. and let's see. Forgot what I was going to say. But.
Yeah, no, I agree with the keeping up with the Joneses thing a lot. We hear that, too, that, my friends just got a new house. They just got a new car. I want one, too.
Yeah, and I hear it a lot because it's in my head a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the most we try to say that we're immune to those things, I feel the pressure and mm-hmm. so forth, too.
Well, there's this one poem, and I think my grandparents gave it to me when I graduated high school. I think it's called If. And I think it's by Rudyard Kipling. But anyway, the first line is, if you can keep your head while all those about you are losing theirs mm-hmm. and blaming it on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just, whatever. Generally, when a group of people do something, I go the opposite direction. But my father was a CPA, and he made money, and he spent money, and he invested. Now, my grandparents, who lived through the Depression, did not believe in stocks. They didn't much believe in banks,
mm-hmm.
And I do. You got to believe in the economy. So I do invest, and I'll tell you, July was a tremendous month.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it went up way up. And so, I don't know, I've never had a family. I've never had a wife. I've never had kids. So I could do what I did. I didn't believe in going to debt, but I didn't have all the other, finances and the pressures that, I wouldn't want to be a parent these days when, a kid says, well, all my friends got Pokemon Go and gee whiz,
Yeah, where's
Jim,
mine?
I'm impressed that you said Pokemon Go.
I am too.
Well, I've just heard how stupid people are running around looking at their little devices.
And falling in water and,
I mean, I'm afraid to actually to drive these days. Remember the good old days when you get in a car and you'd actually watch the road?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a mad world. But what I don't know. It just, you know, it comes from just, you know, and debt is not good. And like you say, I mean, having to worry about paying stuff. I was so lucky when I went to college. For one thing, it was affordable. My father paid for it. And when I got out, I didn't, you know, I had the world at my doorstep.
Right.
And I feel sorry to hear these people these days, you know, getting out of college like $100,000, you know, behind the eight ball.
Yep.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, that's just not right.
No, and it's more common than you think, too.
Yeah, and that's why the Bernie Sanders thing, you know, was so big.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you want people to have a, to think they have a future, but let's face it, everything's becoming technology, robotics. What is their future, sadly enough?
Right. It's a brand new future, but... You know, it's always been a brand new future.
Yep.
It's just that we don't think of it when we look back in time. But think about when we were in horse buggies and just, you know, didn't have technology and then Industrial Revolution. We were looking at that as the same kind of
change. But you really can't compare the two, because at least with the Industrial Revolution, you know, I mean, labor was made easier, but people still had labor.
Yeah,
people
but you still
operate machines.
But you still you went from having 50 people build something that's on an assembly line to 10 people because you brought in a machine. It's real similar. I understand what you're saying. It isn't quite the same, but the theory is that you've now created some technology that is taking place of what somebody was doing with their hands.
Okay, we can just say that over a period of a couple of hundred years, things have gone exponentially, right?
Well, yeah.
They've gone from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16.
Yep.
And it's getting faster and faster. And the only people that will be employed, I think, in the future are robot manufacturers and computer programmers.
Well, you might be right. I guess that's why you got to line these kids up to understand that. And so I think you're correct.
Well, you know, you were talking about age. You know, I just turned 70. I don't feel that old. It's amazing that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing about it is everybody out there is trying to convince me that I'm old, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I know that I'm on the worldwide computer base and that the word 70 comes up, and everybody from AARP to, you know, to the medical establishment is convincing me. You know, they'll say, well, your blood pressure's a little high. Well, I don't want to go to the doctor because they'll say, well, your blood pressure's high, your cholesterol's high, your you know, glucose is high, and you start taking pills, and then you've got to take pills to combat the side effects of the first pill.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
I mean, so anyway.
But,
I mean,
you know, you also look at the...
And again, don't go with everything you hear, even from the medical establishment. Around here, we're told to fear the sun. The sun is evil. The sun will give you skin cancer. Well, most of that's genetic. I mean, I've been outside. I sunbathe all the time. I'm just doing hunky-dory, you know.
With your Pokemon.
Exactly.
No, I have low-tech. I like to listen to,
To us? You like to listen to us, right?
Right.
There you go.
Well, anyway, I hope you get some more calls. And I don't know. I mean, like I say, I like to invest. I enjoy investing, mainly in stocks. And things are going well. And if the stocks go down, then that means the economy's gone down and nobody can do anything about that.
Right.
Yep. Very true.
So, well, take care.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into this further and give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Thanks.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. Thank you, Jim, for your phone call. We always love talking to you.
I know. And Jim, it was very interesting listening to him because I grew up with Depression era parents. And so what he talked about rang true with me very much, and it is what you catch,
mm-hmm.
is I grew up living very frugal. You know, we ate very, you know, we just ate what you could grow and didn't overspend at all, because that's the way it was when they grew up. You just, that was how you lived. You didn't, that taking on debt and stuff to just do basic living was not even heard of.
It was not what you did, no.
And so, and the thing about the banks, I heard that all the time when I grew up, and you see it in clients now where we have a couple clients that are older that have, you know, a considerable amount of money that they want to keep in cash, and they have it at three different banks because that carryover from the Depression is still lingering in people's minds, and they don't want to have all their money in the bank, and that's what they were told, and that's how they've been living. And sometimes the kids are picking up on that, and they have a lot of cash, and it's sitting at two or three different banks, and they think that that's just what you're supposed to do.
I can relate to the same thing. I had grandparents that were actually farmers in Denver, and they were the same way. They never bought anything new. They kept, I mean, the tractors on the farm were probably original. They were old, and they still did a lot of things by hand, and they ate what they killed is the best way to look at it. That's just how it was done.
Yep, and that's the way I grew up. And so when we hear these things and so forth, and people go, well, we just can't live on that little, or we, you know, that's no way we could cut our budget that much. Well, no, it is. You can.
Yeah.
You don't want to,
correct,
but you can.
Yes.
And so so we need to always think about that. And again, going back to the spenders versus the savers, it's easier when you're the savers. It's going to be harder for you when you're the spenders, because you're always the biggest enemy is the person you're looking in the mirror.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a call from Sebastian. Good morning, Sebastian.
Is he there?
Hello?
My wife and I are clients of Dave's. And in a meeting we had recently, he said, we're in our high 70s, early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And in a meeting recently, he said, well, at the very end, no matter what goes down, you still have you can also have a reverse mortgage. Well, my wife and I had a good friend that had a reverse mortgage years ago. We're all retired teachers. And the good friend, when he came to the end of his life a couple of years ago, his kids had to suddenly vacate the house and clean it out, and the bank took the house. And anyway, we'd like to know more about reverse mortgages.
You know, they used to be very scary. They did. We heard a lot of people having horror stories and feeling uncomfortable doing those. So we know what you're referring to. They really give you, I believe, a year to get out of the house.
Yep.
And so you don't get really kicked out. But what happens is it's now a debt. So you can either pay it off by buying the home yourself. You can sell it to someone else. The bank normally doesn't just come take it, though.
Right. Now, at some point, that does happen. But reverse mortgages, we probably could do a whole hour on reverse mortgages, because we just now had a person come in our office and learn more about them,
right,
the current way they're being done.
Mm-hmm.
And there is legislation that was passed just recently that did change a lot of the functionality, how they worked. And we're not going to get in all the weeds of all those things. But just to let you know, it is an option. It's still probably not the option A people should use. But if you're older, you have to be over 62 and so forth. And they do put you through a quite extensive education program, so you know exactly what you're getting into. And I think that's the valuable part of what they're doing now, is you know that how it works at the end and how it works during and so forth. But they are not as scary as they used to be. They really aren't.
I mean, I guess you have to look at it a different way as well. It used to be that everyone focused on one thing only, and that was to pay off their house. The hard part with that was when you get to retirement age, you have a paid-off home, which is an asset that has money tied up in it, and you have Social Security. You need more income because your focus has always been on having no debt, which is great. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful goal, to never have debt if you can get there, and especially into retirement. But then you have this home that all your assets are tied up in. So you either have to sell it and buy something cheaper to get assets out, but you love your home. You don't want to leave it. You want to be able to stay there through retirement. And that's why I think reverse mortgages come into play for people. If you've gotten to a point that you need more income, but you want to stay where you're at, it's a way to do both.
Right. And when you get to retirement and so forth, it is all about the cash flow. It's all about how you're going to get enough cash flow to live as comfortably as you can. And when you have, let's say, a $400,000 house you're living in, unless you want to take another mortgage, mm-hmm. and just take the money out and then make that payment.
Which doesn't really help cash flow
then
as much.
Yeah, because you're getting some to get some.
Mm-hmm.
What a reverse mortgage allows you to do is get the income without paying a payment. And so it's a different. And again, we probably isn't good to just briefly talk about this and just fire out a whole bunch of data. But if you're in a situation like that, you're over 62 and so forth, it doesn't hurt to go and find out about them and find out what you're getting into. We're not saying they're good. We're not saying they're bad. They are a tool that you might be able to use, and it might be effective for you to get to tap into that equity you're living in without having to take out a traditional type of mortgage to do it.
Right. And I know you can get them at 62. I would wait as long as you can, because obviously when you look at the way the payments would be made, it's based on your life expectancy. So if you take one at 62, you're going to get very little because you're going to live for a long time. And the banks can't lose money on these. They don't want to lose money on these. So they're not going to give you a big chunk of money if you take it when you're young.
Right.
You really should be the last resort.
Yeah.
And again, we could talk about this all day,
right.
but it would really be one of the last resorts. So we usually tell people, maybe if you have no other assets, no other means, when you're over 70, like Sebastian was saying.
Right. Yep.
All right. Time to take a break. When we get back, again, more calls. This is fun too. 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone, Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo this morning. Wanted to thank Sebastian for his call on reverse mortgages last segment. I forgot to do that.
Yeah, well, it was very nice of Sebastian.
Give us a call if you have questions, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. So we're going to get back to what we were talking about with our spenders and savers, and we're at our second meeting 1 year later. We've been working with them throughout the year, and this is a formal sit-down to see how they've progressed and where we are.
Right, and just to let you know, this is pretty much how things work with our clients, is that we set goals, and then we come back to them every – but we recommend at least once a year to see how they're doing, if we're on track, and obviously they want to know if they're on track.
Mm-hmm. And setting benchmarks and goals for people and holding them accountable really does help.
Yep.
So let's go with the savers first, because I always get to go first today, I guess. So first, their one goal that we talked about was to get that student loan paid off in 1 year. The plus to this was they actually got a bonus. So they were able to pay it off in 10 months. So the extra two payments that they were making of $2,500 went to savings. So in a year, they were able to pay off $25,000 in debt, and they now have over $11,000 in savings, not just 401ks and Roth, that's just savings. So they're well on their way to getting that 20% down. They've built their emergency fund, and they're working the steps like we set up.
Yep.
Their 401ks now, because they have 4% going in, they're about $4,300, and so is the match. So they've got another $8,000 there, and their Roths are up around $3,900. So overall, they now have $24,000 in assets and no debt.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that was a fun meeting.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And the Steve and Sally Spenders, I'm surprised. I really like them as people, but I'm surprised they came back, because a lot of times when we have people who are spenders, they don't. And so they're still kind of struggling. They are making their payments. They have paid down the student loans. They're like I said, they were paying $900 a month at 6%. They just made the minimum payment, which means that they paid $10,800 in student loan payments, but only $1,800 all of it went to interest other than $1,800. So it went down to $148,200 from $150,000.
Do you realize how really sad that is when you have high interest rates? How little really goes to principal?
Yeah. And that really is the crux of it right there. Is that when you add that just a little bit of interest, just what a big effect that'll be and what it'll really create. But so they So as usually happens when a baby comes around, they couldn't stand having the small cars they had, so they traded one in and were able to finance it, although I'm not sure how they get financing. And they are now they have one car loan for $30,000, and they still have the other car loan, which they paid down. Their payments did pay down. They now owe $14,340. So they made some headway, which they think, and they said, look at that. We paid that much down. But, you know, there's still a lot of debt there. And their credit cards, because they got a baby, so they got to have all the baby stuff, has now, instead of going down, it went up another $10,000. They're now at $40,000 in credit card debt. Although I recommended just trying to get the match at the 401k where they work, they never got around to doing that. So they don't have anything. They haven't started the 401ks, even though they had a 4% match there, which is free money. And again, whenever we talk about anybody, doesn't matter what part of life they're in, if they have a match at work, you have to take advantage of that. That's free money you're throwing out the window. But they haven't got around to doing that yet. And what little savings they did try to build up, ended up spending on whatever. They couldn't really tell me where it went, but it's gone. And they never did open the Roth IRAs.
When Tom came in and we were chatting about this fictitious client, the pressure's starting to be felt now.
Right. Because, I know this from personal, there is a motherly thing that happens that when you have a baby, you want to stay with the baby. And now Sally wants to stay home with the baby, or at least just work part time.
We just can't find it in the budget.
They don't have the freedom because of the debt. They don't have the freedom for her to stay home. So they are continuing to have to utilize their grandparents, which the grandparents are nice to be doing this, and it is helpful for them. But it is causing stress that she doesn't want to work anymore. And a lot of times the husband doesn't have that
feeling.
One of staying home, so he doesn't understand why Sally wants to do this, so it's starting to cause a little friction.
Yeah. All right. I think we need to take our last break of the hour, so we're going to do that now. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and see how we can continue to help them and maybe work on the next phase of their life on the next time we come in.
Yes.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station.